Sweet night tonight. Turn in your Bibles, if you would please, very quickly to that great faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews chapter number 11. And we're going to look at a couple different things tonight as set down earlier this week. And we're going to kick off in chapter 11, verse 20, although we're not probably going to spend a lot of time expounding on the life of Isaac tonight. I'm going to go back and grab some thoughts, some devotional thoughts that God spoke to my heart about as I was studying for the message, and just couldn't fit all of it in. So I thought I'll sort of preach a house cleaning message, sort of go and grab some thoughts that have been coming to my heart and mind, and then come back in and look at the different ones. If you're naming the different individuals, we've looked thus far at Abel, who's dead, but dead yet still speaks. Dead but speaking. Enoch was the grave robber. And Noah, great man of faith, he's the ark builder. And then you come to Abraham, he's the trailblazer. Look down in verse number 11. Sarah, she is the promise bearer. Jot that down. She's the one who bore the promised son, Isaac. She's the promise bearer. A barren woman that God, in the late stages of her life, past childbearing, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit tonight, God strengthened, rejuvenated her body, and enabled her to bring forth a child, and a man by the name of Isaac. And then when you come to verse number 20, you have a man by the name of Isaac. He's the son of Abraham. And he is called the well digger. And we're going to look at that a little bit later on in another message. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 20, learning to live by faith. Notice the Bible said, by faith, Isaac. You know, time and time and time again, God says that by faith, somebody did this or did that. God works in response to faith. You know, God wants to work in response to your faith tonight. God wants you to believe Him for things in your life. God wants to believe our church for the life of our church, what He has for us and what He sets in front of us. God, for Brother Keaton and I, wants him and Heather to believe what God has set in front of them. God works in response to faith. And God's faithful, amen? And you're going to find that by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Isaac the well digger. We're going to pick up some things tonight, and then we're going to hone in on his life in another message. Let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to bring together some thoughts that you placed on my heart as I was studying the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that this will be as much a blessing to your people as it has been to me. And Lord, that it would bring and tie some things together in our lives as we look at this matter of living our lives on the principle of faith, a faith principle living. And Lord, we'll sure thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want us to look tonight as we look at a man by the name of Isaac. It's interesting that there are three items that marked the life of the patriarchs. And of course, I'm going to delve into these things a little bit later on. But first of all, there was a tent. All the patriarchs, whether it was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they lived in the land of promise in tents. They lived a pilgrim lifestyle. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims living on the earth. Let me tell you what a tent attitude, a tent faith attitude will do. It will detach you from the world. That's what it'll do. It'll detach you from the world. I'm afraid, folks, that we're too often we get like Lot and we get too attached to the world. And when the angels had to take Lot out of Sodom, they literally had to take him and his daughters and his wife by the hand and drag them, so to speak, kicking and screaming out of Sodom. And you know that Lot's wife turned back and she was condemned with the wicked cities of Sodom. She was overcome with the destruction because of her heart for Sodom and Gomorrah. And folks, let me tell you something. We're not careful. This world will rob us of our love and our loyalty and our allegiance to the God of heaven. Hey, we need a tent faith attitude, amen, that will detach us from the world and help us to live life from a heavenly perspective. Second thing that was in their lives was an altar. An altar. The altar spoke of communion with God. Let me tell you what the altar will do. It'll dedicate you to the will of God. Friend, you can't come in contact with the God of heaven, get serious with Him, and not be serious about doing His will for your life. for your family, for this church. And I just believe that when we have an altar attitude, a faith altar attitude, that means that we're a person who frequents the altar. We commune with God. We walk with Him. Friend, listen, you get serious with God, God will get serious with you about His will for your life. And then number three, and you're going to see this prominent in the life of Isaac when we look at him, he was a well digger. There was a well. Now here's what's interesting. You're going to find that Isaac became a well digger. He learned to be a well digger from his daddy, Abraham. Everywhere Abraham went, he dug a well. You're going to find that not only will Isaac dig wells, but he'll go back and redig the wells that his father dug. It speaks of a legacy of faith. And you know what's interesting about the patriarchs? They handed down a legacy of faith down through their descendants, people who would believe God. You know what I want to do? I want to bequeath to my children a legacy of faith. I want to bequeath to your children as a church a legacy of faith. Hey, to know that you can believe God and God will work in their life. Because I believe God wants to work in our lives. Amen? And in our church tonight. And listen, you say, well, preacher, what's a well? That's a source of spiritual resource. A source of spiritual blessing. Let me tell you, when you become a well digger, that means you're going into the well of the Word of God and you're drawing out resources and supply and strength and blessing. Tell you what it'll do. It'll bring you a dependence upon God. Hey, listen, a tent, detachment from the world, an altar dedicated to the will of God, and then a well. When I'm spending time in the Bible, there will be a dependence upon the Word of God. And when I learn to depend on God's Word, guess what it's going to do? It's going to build my faith. How do you know that? Because Romans 10:17 says this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as I study my Bible, as I look and understand the truths of God, and the greatness of God, and the majesty, and the might, and the marvelousness of my God, it builds within me a trust in the living God to do what He said He would do in my life, and what He said He would do in the life of our church tonight. And boy, we want to be that kind of people. Amen? Well, let me give you some thoughts tonight, and I hope I get through them, and if I don't, we're just going to cut it off like sliced bread and come back to it, okay? Number one, I want you to see tonight, as we think about this matter of faith and living by faith, as we see in Isaac and Sarah, Abraham, Jacob, and the other men and women of faith in Hebrews 11, you're going to find that they lived on a matter of faith's priority. They understood the priority of faith in this matter of living for God. And you're going to find that is the heart of the book of Hebrews. From chapter number 1 onward, the writer of Hebrews is seeking to foster faith in these individuals. He's seeking to foster faith in us. You know what the problem was with these Hebrew Christians? They were guilty of the sin of unbelief. They just wouldn't believe God. And therefore, it had stagnated their Christian life. It had kept them from being everything God wanted them to be. It had kept them from the blessing of God and the working of God in their lives. Friend, listen, a lack of faith will rob us tonight of the blessing of God. It just will. Listen, let's not be guilty of the sin of disbelieving the God of heaven. Let's be a people of faith tonight and recognize the priority of faith. Look at, going all the way back, chapter 10, look at verse number 38. Now I'm going to expound on these verses more when we get there. But look back at verse 38. Now the just, here's the priority and the principle of faith. Now the just shall live by faith. Do you know that phrase is repeated three times in the Bible? And in each instance, it has a different emphasis or a different thrust in what he's trying to say. And here, he's saying that saved people, now catch this, just, saved people live their lives by faith. That's the norm. If we're saved, we ought to believe God tonight. Amen? Now listen, we can be saved and not believe God. Alright? There's far too many Christians that believe God to save them from hell, but yet they fail to trust God in the everyday matters of life. We live too often like practical atheists. We believe in God, but we don't just, we live as if He doesn't exist. And folks, let me remind us tonight that we have a powerful God and a great God and a mighty God, and He wants to work in 2019. And He wants to work in you and in me and in our church. And listen, folks, we need to, by faith, let Him work, amen, and do what He wants to do in our lives. There's a priority. But notice that, if you would please, back in verse number 38, he says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back. Now what does that mean, preacher? That word draw back is a shipping, it's a nautical term. It has the idea of sailing, and it's the idea of lowering the sail. You know what we need to do? We need to set our sail to catch God's will, God's desires, and by faith lift that sail and let God propel us in the direction to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in our lives. Church, listen. Hey, let's not be lower in the sail. Let's raise the sail. Hey, let's catch God's desire. Let's lift the sail of faith and let God move us where He wants to move us. And watch God work in our lives as we follow Him and let Him move us along. Amen? Hey, let's not be like those that draw back. Hey, let's not lower the sail in 2009. Let me tell you, there's too many churches trying to just hold on rather than move forward. Too many Christians just status quo. Status quo. Instead of lifting the sail of faith and saying, God, use me. God, do something in my life. God, do something in my children. God, do something in the life of my grandchildren. God, do something in my church. Move us for Your glory. Boy, how that needs to happen in our lives. Notice what God says. He said, now, the just shall live by faith. Now, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Here's what God says in this verse. God said that a lack of faith, when we lower the sail of faith in our lives, we draw back from what God wants. It brings displeasure. God's not pleased with us. Church, listen, unbelief displeases the God of heaven. You know why? Because we're saying, God, You won't keep Your word. God, You're not faithful. God, You'll not do what You said You'd do in my life. That's what we're doing. And instead, God said, listen, that can't please Me. I cannot please God and not believe Him in my life as a Christian. You're going to see that priority. Look over at verse number 6 of chapter 11. Now, I'm not done in chapter 10. Look at verse number 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Folks, listen, you know what impossible means? It's not possible. God said, you cannot please Me with a lack of faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let me ask you something. How's your faith life tonight? How's your prayer life? Do you believe God when you pray? Do you believe God will answer your prayer? Do you believe God will do what He says He'll do in your life? Boy, those are searching questions, aren't they? I want you to look back, if you would, verse number 39. Because at face value, when you look at verse 39, you think, well, these folks must have lost their salvation. And there's a whole denomination that builds a false doctrine off verse 39 that believes that you can apostatize and lose your salvation. But folks, there's far too many verses in the Bible that tells me that once I'm saved, I am forever saved. I'm like Mays Jackson. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. Amen? Hey, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God says that He gives unto me eternal life and I'll never perish. That's a double negative. Under any circumstances perish. God didn't give it to me today to take it away from me tomorrow. Hey, I can't lose it. No, I'm in the grip of Almighty God. And God said nobody can pluck me out of His hand. I'm secure in Christ tonight. So what is He saying? And folks, listen, you must interpret the Bible, not by commentaries. Now, nothing wrong with having commentaries. I got a library. I got thousands of them. Alright? But I understand that those are the words of men. And I glean things and I learn and I grow and I understand. But they're not the final authority. The Bible is. Let me tell you the best commentary on the Bible. You say, preacher, what is it? It's the Bible. It's the Bible. And when you learn the Bible many times will open up its contents itself. And using good principles will help us to understand the truth. Now listen, if we know, settled fact, that if we believe on Christ, we are saved forever, then that means there's no verse in the Bible that tells me I can ever be unsaved, right? Alright? Look with me, if you would, in verse number 39. How do we interpret the verse? But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Here again, that word draw back, that means lowering the sail. The word perdition, the moment you read it, you think, oh, they're lost, they're in hell. That's not what that word means. Just a little study of that word, you're going to find that word can be used of hell, but it doesn't always mean that. It simply means destruction or ruin. Here's what God's saying. A lack of faith can ruin your spiritual life. That's what He's saying. It can hold back the blessing of God. It can be destructive to God's purposes in my life. But believe to the saving of the soul. That salvation, there's not a salvation from hell, but the ruin of a life of an individual who's saved by God but fails to believe God. It's the only thing it can mean. Because if it means anything other than that, then that means that I can be saved and lost, saved and lost, saved and lost. And we've already said the Bible clearly states that can't happen. Salvation in the Bible does not always mean salvation from hell. Within the context of Scripture, you allow the Bible to interpret itself, and here it is from spiritual ruin of failing to believe God and trust Him with my life and my future and my family and what He wants to do in my life. Here's what God's saying time and time again, Christian, don't lower the sail, hoist it up and let me move you along and work in your life. That's what He's saying. Because, listen, when we do that, God is pleased with us. Faith needs to be a priority in our lives. Amen? Number two, I want you to see not only faith's priority, but faith's promise. I want you to look back in chapter 11 and find, if you would, verse number 20. And we're going to read three words here, and then we're going to go back and catch something else. Notice, Isaac. By faith, Isaac. You know, we learned during revival that Isaac's name means laughter. We know that. And that both Abraham and Sarah rejoiced at the fulfillment of God's promise. You know, all the promises of God were bound up in Isaac, who was called the son of promise. You know that he's a prototype, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's also the son of promise. And you know, if there wasn't an Isaac, there wouldn't have been a Jesus, because guess what? Isaac, alright, is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God had to give Isaac to Abraham so that He could give Jesus to us based on the promises that He made to Abraham. Aren't you glad? No wonder Abraham and Sarah laughed with joy at the birth of that son. Not just that God had done a miracle in their life, but that God had fulfilled His promises in their lives. Listen, does it excite you when God keeps His promises? Does it excite you when God does something in your life? Friend, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more exciting than watching God work. Now I want you to notice something with me real quickly, if you would. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's find Sarah, because we haven't talked about this great woman of faith. Look at verse number 11. She is the promise bearer. Notice the Bible said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and multitude as the sand of the sea, sand which is by the seashore innumerable. My, what a mighty, mighty God we serve. Now, notice the promise came to the believing parents, alright? Abraham and a woman by the name of Sarah, his wife. She was barren when God gave them the promise. She couldn't have children. And God waited. Isn't it interesting how God waits? You know what defeats faith so often in people's life? When God asks us to wait. When God promises today and doesn't fulfill it immediately tomorrow, we're such impatient people in America. Matter of fact, the Africans tell you that the Americans wear their God on their wrist. We let that control our lives. Matter of fact, if the preacher in average church goes over just a little bit on a consecutive basis, people say, well, he's wasting my time, I'm not coming back. When is it ever a waste of time to be in the presence of God? Amen. Now, I want to be timely and I want to be wise, but you know what? I want to let God work too, don't you? I don't put God on my time clock. I want God to do what God wants to do. And if God wanted to blow through and us have a 3-hour service because people were getting right with God, let God work. Amen? Yeah. You say, preacher, what would we do? I thought, no, it'd be exciting though, wouldn't it? We'd go out going, wow, look what God did. Well, the preacher couldn't do that, could he? And I'm not saying that will happen, but you know, what if it did? Well, what if somebody in the church got right with somebody else's church and then all of a sudden, suddenly, God began to send revival and people's lives started getting changed in a massive way? That'd be an amazing. You know, I've only been in a couple meetings like that in my entire Christian life. It is unbelievable when people obey God. I don't have a clue what I was getting ready to say next. That was probably enough right there, wouldn't you agree? And so we find as we look here that they waited. And you know what? They made some mistakes while they waited because they failed to trust God. But you know what? God didn't give up on... Aren't you glad God didn't give up? Here's just some devotional thoughts. God didn't give up on Abraham and Sarah. Aren't you glad God hadn't give up on you? How many times while you waited or when something didn't happen, have you made a decision or done something outside the will of God and sort of made a mess up? Let me just tell you, every mess up in my life, I did it. All right? And every time that something good's happened in my life, God's done it, okay? And we just want to remember that. And boy, when I'm in step with God, good things happen. When I get out of step with God, I tell you what, I can make a mess real quick. But you know what? I'm glad God didn't give up on me. Amen. I'm glad that God didn't say, you know what, Abraham and Sarah, you know what, you're a real waste of time. You know, here I told you I'd do this, and look what you've went and done now. You run down to Egypt, and when I wanted you to stay in the land, and now you brought back Hagar, and now you've made a mess with Ishmael and all that. God didn't do that. No, you know what? God is a forgiving God and a loving. Aren't you glad He's a God of the second chance and third chance? He said, listen, Abraham, let's try this again. I'm glad God didn't give up on me. Well, let's rejoice, folks, in a God that doesn't give up on us. Hey, listen, if God don't give up on you, don't you give up on God when He doesn't work on your timetable. Just learn to wait. Amen? And so we find that they waited until the point that they were past the age of childbearing. You say, preacher, what was God doing? Now, we have the privilege of looking back. Abraham and Sarah's living it real time. You know, you ever heard this easy preaching, hard living stuff? That's this faith living. Easy preaching, hard living at times in our lives, isn't it? And you're going to find that God was waiting till they got to the point where their strength was gone, where if anything happened, neither Abraham or Sarah would have any inkling that it was anything that they did. Let me tell you, man's extremity is God's opportunity. God many times waits in our lives till we get to the point that we recognize if anything's going to happen, it's going to be God who does it. How many times have I gotten in God's way? Trying to fix it for Him. Because He wasn't doing it the way I wanted to do it. Or the way I would have done it. Or the way I planned it out. Or when I wanted Him to do it. See, I'm just telling you devotional thought, things that God spoke to my heart about my own life. I hope you're getting a little something from it. I'm helping me tonight, whether anybody else getting anything or not. And you know what? The Bible said, look verse 11, He said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength. She didn't have any strength. Christian, do you know it's when we're at our weakest that He's the strongest? That's what I jot down there. Boy, when I'm weak, He's strong. Receive strength to conceive seed. That word receive strength, that word strength means dynamite. Dynamic. We've now left face promise because God made a promise. And you know what I wanted to share with you? God has the power to keep His promises. We went from face priority to face promise, now to face power. They were beyond their strength, their ability to do what they could do. But when we get at our extremities, God has an opportunity to work in our lives. And through faith, as she believed God, she received strength. God worked dynamically and amazingly in her life. And listen, can I tell you, it's not faith. Do you understand? Faith doesn't have any power. It's the God of faith that has the power. And now catch this. My faith links my nothingness to God's almightiness. I think that's good worth writing down. Faith links my nothingness to God's almightiness. She received strength. God rejuvenated their bodies. He did a work to reproductive miracle in their lives. And I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to be done. I want you to notice this, alright? Look if you would please, the latter part of verse number 11. Alright? The Bible said that she received strength, conceived seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, beyond any ability of herself to give birth to a child. Now watch these next words. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. There it is. You know what she did? She looked at her extremity. She saw her nothingness. And she grasped hold of God's almightiness. She considered Him faithful who had promised. She believed in a God who would keep His promises. Folks, God keeps His Word. My dear friend, Dr. Ron Comfort, many, many years ago, as I sat in a chapel or a service and heard him preach, I jotted this statement down in the flyleaf of my Bible. It didn't originate with him, but he quoted it. Your future is as bright as the promises of God. You say, preacher, wait a minute. You understand I have cancer. I have a debilitating disease. Preacher, you understand the doctors told me that this situation that I have, I'm going to have this, and it's never going to go away. I have this until I leave this life. Friend, if the promises of God only worked in this life, we'd be in trouble. The promises of God carry me beyond this life into eternity. No matter how dark the night, no matter how deep the sea, no matter how hard, rough the mountain, no matter how far down the valley, I'm here to tell you, friend, that our future as the children of God tonight is as bright as the promises of God. There is a silver lining in the stars, in the skyline of our lives. You say, preacher, what is it? It's a God who keeps His Word. And friend, we can believe Him tonight. And He gives us hope. Amen? Folks, listen. Listen, it's no fun when life hangs in the balance, or a marriage hangs in the balance, or a family hangs in the balance. That there's no fun in that. But I'm going to tell you something. When we respond to God in faith and His promises, God can do unbelievable miracles in our lives. God can do what's impossible. Amen. God doesn't always work on my timetable. It always work the way I want, the way I think He ought to work, or when He ought to work. But the good news is this. The great men and women of the Bible understood this principle, and it's the last point that we're not going to get to tonight. Okay? Are you ready for it? That God always keeps His promise. That was it. That whether it came in their lifetime or not, they weren't giving up on God. Because they believe God was true to His Word. Let me give you two thoughts, two points, and I'm done, or little verses here. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Look at verse number 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Do you know what? God didn't always fulfill the promise in the lifetime of the person He gave it to. Didn't always do that. I'll give you an illustration. I'm finished because we've got to go eat fellowship with Keatons. God brought Abraham into the land at 75. He never inherited one speck of the land of Canaan. God in a dream told him, said, Abraham, you're gonna pass in a ripe old age, but here's what's gonna happen. Your people's gonna leave, your children, your descendants are gonna leave this land, and 400 years later, I'm gonna bring them back. You say, well, preacher, God didn't keep His Word. Oh, yes, He did. Oh, yeah, He did. Because what God promised in Abraham's life 400 years later, He performed it when He brought the nation out of Egypt through the wilderness across Kadesh Barnea, and they inherited the land. Just because you may not see your son or daughter come back to God while you're alive doesn't mean they won't come back to God. Now, we all want to see it, don't we? Sure. But you know what? When they didn't see it, they didn't quit on God. And they didn't falsely accuse God. And they didn't give up on God. That was faith's perseverance. When you believe God, you'll just keep going in spite of the barriers and the obstacles because you know God keeps His Word. Folks, you know what? We have been so affected by the health and wealth Pentecostal movement and mindset in our land. Whether we realize it or not, we've allowed that to creep into our lives to where if God doesn't do something, pow, then God's not true and God's not real. And you know what the fallacy of all that is? Is that most of them, most of the time, are living in a fantasy world that when they hit bottom, they don't have enough Bible to keep them going and they wash out completely. Let me tell you something. When you and I grasp hold of God who always keeps His Word, we won't wash out. We'll stay faithful. And let's just determine to be a people of faith. You know what the good news is? Most of us do receive the promises in our lifetime, don't we? Matter of fact, how many promises have God answered in your life already? He sure has been faithful, hasn't He? Let's just trust the faithfulness of God tonight. Let's be a people of faith. I've got more that I want to share with you, but I just want to remind us tonight, hey, God doesn't work like we think He ought to all the time. But let's let God work. Let's live by the priority of faith and the promise of faith and the power of faith. Let's not lower the sail. Let's raise it up. Amen? Let's do that. Maybe tonight you need to raise your sail of faith. Maybe you need to step forward to this altar tonight and say, God, I've been drawing my faith sail down. God, tonight I want to lift it up to catch the breeze of Your blessing in my life, to let You move me and motivate me and take me where You want me to go, to do what You want me to do, be what You want me to be, to experience Your best for my life, my family. You know, a grandparent can do that. Say, preacher, how do I know that? I know Abraham wanted a grandparent, but he was old enough to be one. He's 75. You know, isn't it amazing how many people, I know I can go on and on and on. I promise I'm gonna land the plane. Isn't it amazing the number of people that God used in what we would consider the sunset years of life because they led Him? That's good stuff, isn't it? That lets me know God never gets done working on me, and He never gets done working through me. Amen? Till He takes me to heaven. Let's trust Him tonight. Let's bow our heads.